You can never go wrong with a little a cappella, right? And the first part of that sounded a little, like a little rap, didn't it? All right, good job, good job. Yeah, always enjoy our Good News Choir. They do a tremendous job, and Nancy leading them in that. All right, our message this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 1, 8. Verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 2. That says 1 up there, but it should be verse 2. And living out a Christmas story day by day. And you know, this still being the Christmas season, we're still singing Christmas songs. We're still in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, which tells the Christmas story. So this morning, beginning with verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, follow along with me in your Bibles or on the screen. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. I don't know if you've ever noticed in Matthew chapter 1, when verse 1 starts out with the genealogy of Christ. Now, you might want to go home this afternoon and just read all of those names. There's a lot of generations there of Jesus's ancestors and so forth. So you might want to read those this afternoon. And in verse 18, when his mother Mary had been bestowed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace Mary, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east appeared in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For he saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, in the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about hope, joy, and peace. And this plays a significant part in the Christmas story. And different characters in the Bible in the Christmas story, Joseph, Mary, Zacharias, Elizabeth, and the shepherds, the wise men, and many other characters in the Bible, which completes the Christmas story. So I would like for us to center ourselves on that thought that we should live out the Christmas story day by day, even though, you know, we celebrate a particular season, a particular time pertaining to birthdays or special celebrations. But when it comes to the birth of Christ, and we know he is our Savior, and he is to be our Lord, We need to acknowledge him because it is very significant to our life now and forever. He came to this earth, as the Bible tells us, as a babe. He grew up among us. God, Emmanuel, God with us, to be with us, not only in just the spirit, but he came in the flesh so that we could identify with him. And, you know, Christ went through all the things in this life, the pain and the suffering and the hardships, the persecution, and yet he stood obedient to the Father. Now, so I would like for us to center ourselves on that thought, living at the Christmas story day by day in our lives. So Jesus came so that we might have faith, the hope, joy, and peace. Not only that, but to have life and have it more abundantly, as John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us. See, God wants us to have a full life. And I believe that living out the Christmas story day by day is a great place to start to living the life to the fullest. You know, we often hear a lot of people say, I'm living my dream. I'm living the fullness of life. And that fullness of life cannot be apart from living it in Christ Jesus. So this morning, I want us to look at least three ways that we can live out the Christmas story day by day in our lives. And first one is taken from Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1, and it is about obedience. Jesus was obedient in every area of his life. He made it a point. He made it his purpose. And if we will make it our purpose to live an obedient life, then we will understand what Christmas is all about and living it out day by day, each day of our life. So, when you look at obedience in the Bible, it's very specific. It's an ideal and greatly emphasized in the New Testament. All the way through the 27 books of the Bible, the authors, through Matthew, through Revelation, where John wrote about Jesus Christ, him being the Son of God, the Lamb of God, talks about obedience all the way through. If you've ever read any Warren Wiersbe's books, called the Be Books, one of those books is called The Obedience. And it's focused upon the obedience of Jesus Christ, and those who lived a Christian life were obedient in every way. That's why Jesus said, everything I do it to glorify the Father and be obedient to him. Now, Jesus is our ultimate example of obedience. In Philippians chapter 2, we find, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, I think I skipped that. I punched it too many times. It skipped that verse. But that Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he was obedient even unto death. And that's why he came to earth, that we might know and understand Christ's purpose, but yet that he was the Son of God as well. And Peter, in 1 Peter 1:14, says that we are the children of God. And also, let's look, how does a Christmas story relate to you and I? How does it relate? In Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25, I read a few minutes ago, Joseph was faced with a difficult decision, a choice. He had the choice to divorce the woman that he was pledged to accept, what had happened, and listen. But he listened to the Lord. He listened to the angel that the Lord sent as a messenger to tell him about what was taking place. Now, Joseph was completely obedient to God and followed God's instructions in every way and everything. So we find here in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, when Mary is told of her impending pregnancy, that she was totally obedient to God. And in this verse we see on the screen there, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be me to me as you have said. So she was obedient. Joseph was obedient, even though he didn't totally understand. And how many of us would totally understand if something like that came upon us? Or we experienced that in our life. But they trusted the Father. They trusted God, knowing that Jesus Christ was going to come into this world to be the Savior of the world, and Mary and Joseph had a big part in that. So, when we look at this, may we live out the Christian story in our life, being obedient to God as well, as we move from 2018 into 2019. Now, let's look at a second part of this, a second way. It's all about glorifying God. And if you want to read about the glorification and how the Bible relates to glorifying God and Jesus Christ in every area of our life, read Matthew chapter 9, chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2 as well, that talks about the glory of the Father. So we find many occurrences of the Christmas story where God is given glory. And in Luke chapter 2, as you see upon the screen, it shows us that when the shepherds go and visit the child, they go away from the manger scene glorifying God for what they had seen and what they had heard. See, they went to see for themselves. How often does somebody share something with you and you say, well, I've got to go see this for myself? Well, that's okay. That's good. That's just verifying, confirming what you have heard, and you go see for yourself. It's serving as a identity of knowing and understanding what somebody's told you. So the shepherds, they were looking. They were out in the field. They was out attending their sheep. And behold, this light shines upon them in pitch dark, and they're frightened, they're scared. But they listen. They were listening intently to what the angel told them about Jesus Christ. This was something that had been told. Remember, I was talking about the 400 years of silence where Jesus or the Father had not audibly talked through prophets or messengers for 400 years. And now the shepherds personally was identified as the ones to go and see and hear for themselves the birth of Jesus Christ. And they didn't keep it to themselves. They went out glorifying and praising God and telling others. They went about and they woke people up. Now, if you have heard of good news, would you get on your phone? Or no, most people just text anymore, right? They don't call. They just text. So you either text or you would call to give some good news about something that you've heard. And this was good news. And the shepherds wanted people to know about it. So Luke chapter 2 shows us that the shepherds, they go and they visit the child and they heard. In fact, you know, and they didn't keep it a secret. And they gave God glory. So the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, 9 through 12, they come and they visit Jesus as well. They bring gifts to him that glorify him. And that could have been 2 years later, because they wasn't on the scene at that time. A lot of times they show up in the manger scene, the nativity scene, but they were not there like the shepherds were when Jesus was born. But they still came, and they bowed down and worshiped Jesus, and they did what? They gave God glory. what they had witnessed. But what does this mean, to give glory? What does it mean? If somebody says to give glory to God, what does that mean to you? And I thought about some areas where we can give God glory, and it's to enhance His reputation by honoring what He has done. And if you look back over 2018 or back through the past years, you can look at the reputation that the Bible speaks about and in our lives, and we can identify and we can give honor what God has done in our lives. And of course, we have had some hardships. We've all had hardships. But you know, the things that God blesses us with outweighs anything else. And that's why we can honor Him with our lives. And that's why Jesus went through what He went through in this life. He still gave Father the glory. So that's what it means to live out your life day by day, the Christmas story, which is all about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's nothing about us. So, another area to glorify God means that you place Him in the ultimate position of power and you humble yourself before Him. Humble yourself and pray and say, God, thank You for choosing me. Thank You for providing salvation in my life. Thank You for giving me eternal life. Thank You for my family. Thank You for my friends. Thank You for my church. I honor You. I praise You for what You've done in my life. And another way to give glory to God means that we highly value Him. Ultimately, highly value Him in our life to the ultimate extreme. So, going back, may we live out our lives, a Christmas story, day by day in our lives. Now, the final way that we can honor Christ or live out the Christmas story is to recognize that it's all about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, Matthew and Luke chapter 1 and 2, like any other baby in human history, when you think about it, a lot of babies been born in this world, haven't they? A lot of great leaders, a lot of important people, a lot of godly people, a lot of godly characters in the Bible have been born. But there's nothing like the baby Jesus that came into this world. The one born that night in Bethlehem was unique. So He was not created by human father or mother, but He was truly the Son of God. Now, He had a heavenly preexistence, according to John chapter 1, and He is God. He is the Son. And Philippians chapter 2 tells us that He is the one with the creator of the universe and chose to become part of His creation. When you see creation in the forms of we see it each day, aren't you glad that God made you a part of that and you get to behold everything on this side of heaven? I mean, we can't imagine what heaven's going to be like and the beauty of it. If we like what we see here on this earth, we're going to love heaven, aren't we? It's like Paul, he couldn't describe it. He went up to the third heaven. You know, we have this heaven, they call it, then the heavens in the sky. But he was talking about the third heaven, which is heaven itself. And he couldn't even describe it. He said, I can't even describe, but you're going to love it. God gave him a glimpse of that. So, this is why Christmas is sometimes called the incarnation, a word which means in the flesh. At Christmas, God came in the flesh. And that is why Jesus said, if you have seen Him, that you have seen the Father as well. So Jesus was describing, you know, the Father as He is the Son. And when we think about that. In the birth of Jesus, it's the eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing creator came to earth in the flesh. Why would he come as a baby? Why would God have such a plan? Well, it all began back in Genesis, didn't it? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. And then when he placed man in it, God had a good plan there. He had good intentions. Placed man right in the center of Garden of Eden. It was like heaven. Everything that you would ever want. Everything that you would ever need. But sin entered into this world through man. And therefore, God had to, I would call, backup plan. He knew in advance that he would have to come in the form of a child, baby Jesus, into this world and provide a Savior, provide a sacrifice for you and me that we might be saved from this world's sin. So God's plan from the very beginning of human sin to bring Jesus into this world. See, the whole Bible is all about Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, as he's on the Isle of Patmos, can you imagine being exiled out on an island and you know you're going to be there probably the rest of your life? You're going to die there. But God gave him a vision of heaven. He gave him a vision to write. And that's why we have Revelation, because it tells us about the prophecy, the things to come, the things to look forward to. But John took this moment to start out in chapter 1 to tell us all about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 is all about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the saving Lamb of God. And then he moves in and explains about the churches in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, what the church is a part of our lives and how we interact with the church and make that a big part of our lives. So you see, God had a plan from the very beginning. He didn't leave anything out. And that's why I say it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. But he made us a part of his great plan. And I'm so thankful for that. See, Jesus came so that we might have opportunity to have reconciliation with God. See, God was all about forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation. And may we live out the Christmas story by living our lives day by day. Living out the Christmas story means so much more than we can touch today, that I can even imagine to touch on today. Living a life of obedience is a start to living it out. Giving glory to God is a start. Trying to pattern our lives after Jesus is definitely a start to living out the Christmas story day by day. Now, I want to close with this story, which kind of ties it in together about our life, how to live out the Christmas story day by day. There's a story about an African boy. And he listened very intently to his teacher. And she said, "The gift of Christmas is an expression of our joy over the birth of Jesus Christ, our friendship for each other." She was explaining why we give gifts. And she was explaining to this little African boy why we give gifts. It's an expression of our joy, of our love over Jesus Christ and our friendship for each other. So when Christmas Day came, the boy brought a teacher a seashell of a radiant beauty. And she said, "Where did you find this beautiful shell? It is beautiful. I've never seen anything like it before." And the youth told her that there was only one spot where you could find it, and it was on a base several miles away. And that's the only place you could find a seashell like this. And when he named a place, a certain base several miles away, the teacher was speechless. She didn't know what to say. And she says, "Why? Why? It's gorgeous. Wonderful, but you shouldn't have gone all of that way just to get this gift for me." And when she said that, his eyes brightened up. And the boy answered, "Long walk is part of the gift. The long walk is part of that gift to you." Well, think about it. God came from heaven to the manger. From the manger to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave back to heaven. And you and I, we may ask, "Why all this trouble, God? Why all this trouble?" And God would say to us, what? Long walk, part of the gift. Long walk, part of the gift. And we would say, and we if we ask, and God would say this to us, long walk part of the gift. And that's why we should be living out Christmas day by day. Because Christ did take the long walk for us, didn't he? All the way from heaven. Walked upon this earth. Looked out of all the people, the congregations, the multitudes. He had compassion on them. He pre-warned everyone about why he came. He walked this earth telling people how that they can find salvation through him. And we wonder, why all the trouble? Well, it's because he loved us so much he was willing to take that walk. And we were willing to take that walk every day of our life, telling others about the birth of Jesus, telling others about where they can find the Savior, just like the shepherds did. And they had a long walk out from the fields into Bethlehem to witness and see and hear about Jesus himself. It was worth the walk, and the walk was part of the gift. And that's the gift that each and every one of us can receive any day, just not on Christmas, but any day of our life. That's why it is so important to live out the Christmas story day by day. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the Christmas story that Matthew and Luke and even the prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah, proclaimed many, many years ago, to make us aware, to give us heads up, to make us want to know even more. As Paul would say in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know more about Jesus Christ. I want to know how I can identify and respond to situations in my life that occur just like Jesus did, and he remained obedient in all of his life. And that's what we are to do as well. If anyone here today that hasn't received the gift of salvation that Jesus brought it to us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift that we can receive. And even today, today is the day of salvation. And may we, and whoever's here that doesn't know you personally, and that has accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, but maybe hasn't followed through with baptism or church membership, what a great opportunity today to do and follow through with that, to make it complete. Jesus made everything complete, and so should we. How much more that we need to be obedient as Jesus made it his purpose. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 433, Sweet